Are you hearing me in the second room?
No. Can you hear the chairman?
Can you still not hear me?
No.
I'm standing between the two rooms.
Can you still not hear me?
Yes, we still can't hear
you. Yes, you can hear me. I'll start again. Good evening and welcome to this meeting of the Staffordshire Council Planning Committee. My name is Gareth Jones and I'll be chairing this meeting tonight. I think two housekeeping points before we start. If you've got a mobile phone, can you please put it on silent mode? And
can I also ask members of the public?
It keeps going off.
It's what the mic, Gareth, explained.
I love the broken one.
We can share one.
So as I say, can you make sure your mobile is on? I've been told to move away. Okay, we can start again then. Okay, can you hear? Yes, thank you. Let's say, please put your mobile phones on silent, and can I ask members of the public to refrain from commenting from the public gallery? On my right, I've got officers from the Planning Department, and on my left, I've got officers from the Law and Administration Department. The procedure will be that officers from the Planning Department will present each application separately as it appears. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 3 minutes. There is a table provided in the centre of the room for this purpose, and I will indicate when a speaker has got a minute left in order for them to sum up. Ward members are entitled to speak for 5 minutes. An audio recording of this meeting has been taken, and this will be published on the Council's website. Members of the committee are reminded that they do not enjoy any immunity in their positions in the same way that colleagues say in Parliament are. And I remind members that they may only deal with planning applications before them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the local plan, together with any other relevant matters. And I think that everybody in the two rooms needs to understand that the risk this committee can only deal with planning applications in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the local plan. Now, I've agreed that we will change the agenda in order to allow people we're not proceeding with that, perhaps not proceeding with those applications, but we so that people can go. So the first, so the item order is changed, and I will take the first item as the Gorski Hill Farm, Yarnfield Lane, Yarnfield Stone, 21 35 369/H, and I will ask Mr. Holmes to come to begin the
discussion. Just on item three, please. Declarations of members' interest in lobbying.
Not yet. We'll get back to that in a minute. Finish the order and then we'll go back to the agenda.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairman. Since the report was written, we are expecting a revised heritage statement for this application, which is expected in the near future, following which there will be a need to reconsult on the application. As such, I would ask the committee to resolve to defer consideration of this application tonight, and they will get an updated report once that revised heritage statement has been received and consultations have been undertaken, and the report will then be revised. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to propose for that first deferral.
Seconded. So that is agreed. Thank you. In my excitement, I missed two items off the agenda. First one is apologies.
Thank you, Chairman.
Got apologies this evening from Councillor Beattie, who will be speaking as a ward member for the SERPA application, and she's substituted this evening by Councillor Phillips. There's apologies from Councillor Cooper, who's substituted by Councillor James, Councillor Edgler, who's substituted by Councillor Price, and from Councillor McEwen, who's substituted by Councillor Kenny.
Thank you. Declaration of members' interests, lobbying. I think most people on the committee have received information through the post or by email. I think most people on the committee have received information either by mail or by email. Is that correct?
Correct.
And that is on the first application?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And there are no delegated applications.
Chairman, delegated applications will be submitted to members in the usual way.
Yeah. Councillor Price?
Yeah, just on the declarations of interest, planning application 213-51-50, I'm the ward member and I will be speaking on that particular application, so I will not be taking part in the debate.
Thank you. Okay, could we then now go on to the application on the, in relation to the Mill Farm Barns, Mill Street Stone?
Thank you, Chairman. This is the report on page 44 of your agenda, a very short report that is seeking a resolution to undertake a committee site visit before you determine the application. This application was deferred at the last committee meeting, but not specifically for a site visit.
Can I propose a site visit, Chairman?
Yeah. Is that seconded?
Seconded.
Thank you. So that is accepted. Okay. We now go. We can go now on to you. So we go on to application 22/35765/FUL for University Halls of Residence, Stafford Education and Enterprise Park.
Thank you, Chair. Please note that there is a supplementary paper for this item which was circulated and published yesterday. The location plan shows the extent of the site outlined in red, located to the south of Western Road and to the east of Hydrant Way. The site comprises a three-storey purpose-built student accommodation building arranged around a central courtyard and a single-storey building. The aerial show on the screen now shows the site, however the housing development to the south is not shown on this aerial. To the north of the site is a sports centre and pitches. To the north of Western Road is a business park and former university grounds. To the northeast, beyond the pitches, is a school and university centre. To the east is open space and Stafford Crematorium. To the south is a residential development. And to the west is a fire station and health centre. The photo plan shows the location of the following photos. Image 1 shows the front of the building. Image 2 shows the west side elevation. Image 3 shows the main entrance. Image 4 shows the central courtyard. Plan 1 is the proposed site plan. Plan 2, the proposed ground floor. Plan 3, the proposed first floor. Plan 4, the proposed second floor. Since the supplementary paper was published, we have received 3 additional representations of objection from 1 additional address and 1 representation of support from outside the borough. No additional material planning considerations were raised in these comments. The application seeks a change of use of student accommodation to asylum seeker accommodation for a period until the 31st of August 2029. The proposal includes only internal alterations. There would be no external alterations to the building. The number of bedrooms would be reduced from 556 to 481. The accommodation would provide 171 bedrooms in the initial accommodation within the western section of the building, and 310 bedrooms in the dispersed accommodation within the eastern section of the building. The initial accommodation would provide urgent accommodation for asylum seekers who would stay for between 3 to 4 weeks on average. Asylum seekers would occupy the dispersed accommodation for extended periods of months to years while their application is processed. The initial accommodation section would also include a medical room, private offices, meeting rooms, and a 24-hour reception. The existing parking spaces would be utilised for staff and visitor parking. 3 parking spaces to the front of the building would be removed to create a shuttle bus drop-off point. The proposal would provide specialist accommodation for asylum seekers within a sustainable location, which is approximately 2 kilometres from Stafford Town Centre and is in close proximity to public transport. The proposal would reduce the capacity of accommodation by 13% when compared to the current student accommodation, and as such, the proposed density is considered to be acceptable. The principle of development is therefore considered to comply with local and national policies. No objections have been received from statutory consultees to the proposal. The proposal is not considered to impact upon education services. Since the publishing of the report, the applicant has confirmed that there would be no provision for preschool age and post-16 years education in the initial accommodation, as this is only temporary accommodation. The development is not considered to impact upon public health provision. The initial accommodation includes provision of a designated medical area, which the clinical commissioning group have advised is a suitable size. As discussed in the report, the scheme is not considered to impact on residential amenity, and there have been no objections from the environmental health team or the police. The development is not considered to impact on highway safety, and the existing parking provision is considered to be acceptable. It should be noted that the management of the facility is not a material planning consideration. In conclusion, the proposal is considered to deal with the requirements of the development plan and national policy, and is recommended for approval subject to the conditions set out in the report. Thank you.
Can anybody hear me in the Walton room now?
Yeah.
You can hear that?
Yeah, but not very well since then.
I'll turn it up a bit. A bit more, but it might still be nice.
We'll try and turn it up again. If there's a balance between it screeching and not being able to hear.
Can anybody hear me now any better in the water room? You still can't hear? Right, well, I'm having indication that there is sound coming through.
Come forward to speak to the committee, please.
Can, just before we carry on, Chairman, can you hear me now in the water room?
As I said in the introduction, you've got 3 minutes. You've got 3 minutes now.
Can everyone hear me okay? So thank you for giving me the chance to speak. I would just point out the number of people next door who are opposing the proposal tonight as well. So our opposition is to the location, not to Serco itself. Residents of Mary's Gate especially, of whom I represent here this evening, are worried and fearful about this, and I think you don't have the right to treat your residents in this way. The diagrams used in the planning diagrams, officers' report, do not emphasise really how close that building is to residents' homes. I don't know if anyone's actually been out there and had a look, but let's go and speak to local residents about how worried they actually are. It's really from here across to the Odeon Cinema across the road, it's that close. So we've studied the applications and the officers' report in detail, and we consider that it's in serious conflict with planning policy as detailed within the MPPF. It will harm the proper and legally protected rights of local people as enshrined within the Human Rights Act as well. And also, we consider there is insufficient evidence that infrastructure, especially health provision, has been catered for. So the whole Serco proposal is based around the fact that it was used in 2014, that was the last time, to equate it with that now in housing 500 plus students. It's completely wrong. It's empty. But since that time, over 700 homes have been built, and people have wanted to live their lives in a peaceful and calm manner. They do not want to have to cope with hundreds of single young males who, in Serco's terms, will be allowed to wander unhindered. I take note as well that the police report also states that they suggest building a wall around the building to protect them from local residents. I find that really insulting. The independent chief inspector of borders immigration report that's just been published has stated the fact that the system itself is overwhelmed, and it found that at least 227 migrants have gone missing. Some people have been arriving with guns and weapons, and recently, and I'm sure you've all seen in the public press, that Lisa Nandy, Labour MP for Wigan, called for a Serco-run establishment to step up its security because after local schoolgirls were being harassed by asylum seekers. So in terms of the human rights, you know, we consider that this is breaching our human rights conventions. And I do take note of that. The human rights complaint includes two substantive guarantees. Article 8, the substantive right of respect for a person's home, and Article 1, the substantive right of peaceful enjoyment of one's possessions, which has been tested in court and now includes local area as well. So I would ask you to reconsider this deeply, based upon your own planning policy that's contained within the MPPF and within the Human Rights Act.
Thank you. Thanks. I did ask that there will be no public intervention, and that is important. Could you please sit down? Thank you.
Where?
And you can leave your seat now. Thank you. I did also say that this application would deeply considered against planning issues. Can the speaker, Miss Lisa Dyson, now come to the table? No, just talk. The light will come on.
Okay. Good evening. My name is Lisa Dyson. I'm the property director at Serco, the applicant. We provided housing and support for asylum seekers in the UK since 2012, ensuring safety and respect to some of the most vulnerable people in society whilst they await news on their immigration status. We look after over 29,000.
Excuse me, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but can you please sit down?
Come here.
And can you please...
We've got no seats. There's too many people here to listen to this, because we've had enough of it.
Please, will you resume your seats, please?
Get us a seat then. Get us some more seats. We've got no seats.
Yeah. There mustn't be no further public intervention while the speaker is giving her address. Would you like to carry on? Thank you.
We look after over 29,000 asylum seekers and manage nearly 7,500 properties. Our application proposes a straightforward change of use to the former student accommodation at Stafford Court without requirement for external alterations or the need to build a new facility on undeveloped land. There is an urgent and increased need for suitable asylum seeker accommodation across the UK, and we recognise that this would be the first time asylum seekers are formally accommodated in the borough, and understand that this has raised some questions, concerns and fears. Many of these addressed in your officer's report, but I'll run through some pertinent points now. The proposal would provide 481 bed spaces, representing less than 0.4% of Stafford's population. Our accommodation is highly regulated and routinely inspected by the Home Office and local authorities. There will be management staff available 24/7, 365 days a year, and our dedicated partnership team would engage with the local police and fire service, as well as community groups, third sector organisations and faith groups. On-site healthcare will be provided for the initial accommodation, with local services only required in medical emergencies, and we're also working with the Home Office to see if this can be extended to the dispersed accommodation centre. Public transport demand will be reduced when compared to the former use, and there will be no requirement for education services associated with the accommodation. Whilst there is often a perception that asylum seeker accommodation is linked to increased crime, both our experience and police evidence confirms that there are very low incidences of crime committed by or against asylum seekers.
1,000 girls in Telford
taken
from.
Yeah.
Rapists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rapists.
Yeah.
Please.
Gang
rapists. Please.
Issues were to arise, these can quickly be managed through our close partnership with the local police. This application impacts the lives of real people just like you and me. People who, in coming to the UK, have had to leave behind jobs, friends, family and their homes. And people who need our support so they can get on with their lives. Whatever your view of the UK's immigration and asylum system, it cannot be denied that more facilities like the one we are proposing are required. And that is why the local charity Ash and All Staffs has given its backing to this application. Their experience across the West Midlands has convinced them that sites such as Stafford Court are a much more sustainable and humane response to the needs of people fleeing war, famine, rape or persecution. I hope I provided reassurances that Serco will look after asylum seekers at Stafford Court to a very high standard, and that we are committed to working collaboratively with the community and relevant agencies to ensure the success of the proposed facility. I would therefore ask members to uphold your office's recommendation and approve this application. Thank you.
Thank you.
How close to these camp
houses
are your children? You haven't got any kids, have you?
I've made several requests for comments to cease, and they've not been respected. Can I ask that people are asked to leave, please?
Public meeting.
Public
meeting.
Public meeting.
We pay tax.
This is
our
task.
Out.
Yeah, I've stopped the meeting until the people who are disrupting the meeting leave.